The message that God has downloaded to me is very simple, ABC message, but it's one I need to rehear all the time to keep myself strong and going and reminded. You know, the Bible tells us to remember the Lord our God. And, you know, when something hits you and knocks you to your feet, it's like, I forgot God. It's like, you know, because it just overtakes you and overwhelms you so much and knocks you flat. And then I'm thinking, you know, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Don't look around in terror, because I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When we've got the God of the universe in us, there's nothing to sweat. Nothing to sweat, nothing to fear, because he is with us and he's for us. And so I think I remind myself of that all the time when things try to come in and push you down or knock you to your feet. That's one of my go-to scriptures, because it's right there. And how could I forget God's with me? He's in me. He's for me. He's upon me. He's all over the place. So tonight, what he's downloaded in me is to share with you his thoughts and his ways. And we're going to take an example of Naaman the leper. And we're going to look at Naaman's thoughts and Naaman's ways. And then how finally Naaman agreed with God, got on board, and God is healing. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But first, I want to pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this word that you have put in my spirit to share with everyone that is here tonight. Lord, your word is so powerful. It's powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. It's the only thing that will divide our soul from our spirit is your word. And it's piercing, it divides it so we can see into each one and know what you are doing, Father God, and which one is really in control. We need our spirit to be in control, because your spirit lives in our spirit. And we need our spirit or our mind to be renewed and to know your thoughts and your ways and to get on board and be agreeable to your plans and your purposes for our lives. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that that this word that divides asunder gets into the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so, Father, I just thank you tonight that you will send your word into each one of these people that are sitting here tonight. Each one of your children, you will give them a specific thought and a specific way for an answer in their life. Because some of them are here that need answers, that need healing, that need your touch in their lives, need your touch on their finances and in their families, Lord. And I just thank you that you are the Almighty God and that there is nothing too hard for you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're starting with the famous verse of Scripture, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I began to think about thoughts in the Bible that some of the people had that were God thoughts. And the first one that I thought of was Peter. Now, it's not a human thought to walk on water, is it? We just don't think we can go out there and walk on the water. That's not how humans think, right? But Peter had the thought. When he saw Jesus walking on the water, he realized that anything is possible with God. So this is what happened. Peter said, if he says I can come, I'm going to go and I'm going to walk on that water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat when all the other disciples were just watching. And Peter walked on the water. And yes, he started to sink, but doggone it, he walked on that water. Have you walked on water? I haven't, but I'm going to, doggone it, because I'm going to keep taking God's thoughts and taking God's ways. And so Peter took God's thought, and then he went out and he did God's way. He walked with Jesus on the water. He sank, but Jesus pulled him right back up, and he walked with Jesus back to the boat. That's so awesome. To me, that's a story of, it's not a loser story, it's a victor story. Yep. And then another thought of God's was when Peter asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That wasn't a person thought. That was a God thought. God had given that to Peter. Then Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. No, but my Father God, who is in heaven, has revealed this thought to you. And upon this rock, the rock of revelation knowledge," that's what that was. It was revelation knowledge. Peter had revelation knowledge of who God had made Jesus Christ. And that is the revelation knowledge. That is the rock on which God builds his church. He builds his church on the revealed God thoughts and the revealed God ways. He will build his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, because you can't hack the Bible's revelation knowledge, because the Holy Spirit has to breathe on the Word of God and make that Word come alive to you, gives you for your circumstance, your situation, like Peter walking on the water, like Peter knowing he was the Christ, gives you victory in your, it's a God victory. It's God's way, God's thought to your victory. The victory has already been won. Jesus died on the cross. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's done. All we have to do is pick up the inheritance, believe God's thoughts, believe God's ways. When the Holy Spirit gives us revelation knowledge, we slap. Actually, faith comes instantly. When you get revelation knowledge, faith is there. It's an instant thing. Then you have to act on it, like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. Like Peter did when he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He acted on that revelation knowledge. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing the word, but faith really comes by revelation knowledge, because you could read the word all day long and not get faith. It's only when God's ways and God's thoughts, the light bulb comes on, who is the Holy Spirit, and he reveals it to you. He reveals it to you. And we hear it where? In our spirit. We hear it in our spiritual ears. We hear it and we see it in our spirit. And that's how he reveals things to us. And that's why the world, when they read the Bible, they don't understand it. Because we've got the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, he's the teacher, he's the anointed one. He's the one that leads us into all the truth of the Word of God and how exactly to apply it. He's there to lead us and to guide us into victory. Amen. He is. And so God is calling us, like Pastor's been preaching, to come higher. And we do this by walking in the Spirit through the Word of God and being empowered by the blood of Jesus Christ in our walk as a Christian. See, the Spirit and the Word agree. The eternal Holy Spirit and the blood work together. They all work together. That blood that Jesus offered through the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you Hebrews 9:14. It tells us that the blood of Christ was offered through the eternal Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit raised him up from the dead. And then he was able to go into the Holy of Holies and take his blood in there. He offered himself to God as an unblemished sacrifice. So freaking awesome. So powerful. To purify what? Our conscience from dead works, our thoughts, our ways. They're the dead works. His thoughts, his ways are the purged things that make our conscience, which is the voice of our spirit, come alive. And those are the ways to victory, okay? So to serve the ever-living God. So our conscience gets purged from all the dead works, the thoughts, the ways that we've picked up when we were in the world, and then we start serving the living God, getting out the old. For our 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away." That old spirit man, that old conscience of the spirit, the old spirit man has been stripped off. And he's become a new man in Christ. In Christ. We are in Christ. We're not ourselves any longer. Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ." In other words, he said he's dead in Christ. He died in Christ. He said, "I'm crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I'm now living, that Jeannie Putman is now living in the flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved Jeannie Putman enough to die to be that perfect sacrifice. And so now I can walk in newness of life, having all those things stripped off. But the problem is I want to be like that pig that goes back to the mire, and I want to return to the old way because it's comfortable. The old thoughts, you know, the religious stuff. You know, I'm not a sinner that just goes out and commits those kind of sins. To me, probably the sins I commit are more religious or, you know, on that type of order, you know. But anyways, Hebrews 10:22 says, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith. Think about that. Let's draw near. So now that we're new creatures in Christ, we don't live anymore. It's Christ that's alive on the inside of us. That life that we now live in the flesh, in Jeannie Putman's flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My flesh wanted to sit on the couch tonight, watch television. But I said, nope, we got to share the word tonight, flesh. Get your butt up, we're going. Let's sit down this afternoon. We rested, we meditated, and we're good. So, you know, that's how you take care of your flesh. You just tell it what to do. It's that simple, it really is. Whether you feel like it or not, you do what you know that God's putting in your heart to do. Yep. And so it says, anyways, come with that. I like this word. It says, come with true hearts, an honest heart, draw near with a sincere heart and unqualified assurance. See, we're not qualified for any of this. We're unqualified. But Jesus Christ has qualified us. So we can come forward even though we didn't do it. He did it for us, and we can have confidence, and we can have assurance and absolute conviction engendered by our faith, because we're like Abraham. God imputed righteousness to him because of his faith. So we have faith in the sacrifice of Christ and the work that he did, that finished work of the cross. We have faith in that. We're righteous. We're righteous because he's made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. Thank God I'm not in Jeannie Putman. Thank God I'm in Christ. Amen. So by the leaning, I like this, and you are engendered by faith, and here's how it comes, by the leaning of your entire human personality, that your soul and your body and your spirit on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, his goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So now we can think God thoughts. We can take his thoughts. We can put them in our mind. We can meditate on those thoughts. We can roll them around and around until they become part of us. We no longer have to take worry. We no longer have to take care. Those would be my sins, worry and care and fear. Those would be my sins that I struggle with the most. I no longer have to take that, because a couple weeks ago I was up here and I read you 1 Peter 2:24. Himself personally bore Jeannie Putman's sins in his own body. On the tree as a sacrifice, as an altar, he put himself up there so that Jeannie Putman would die, cease to exist to sin, and live unto righteousness, by whose stripes Jeannie Putman was healed. I was healed on that cross. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care how my body feels. I believe God's thought and agree with God's thought that I have been healed because he hung on that cross and he took my sickness. He took my disease. He took everything, my sorrow, my griefs, my pain, my guilt. So if you're sitting out there tonight and you're feeling guilty, don't, because he purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Sin conscious, you shouldn't be struggling with it. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God sees you in Christ, not in yourself. He sees you in Christ. That's your identity now. It's not who you were. It's who you are now in Christ. So the best example, one of the best examples that, actually the Holy Spirit just gave this to me, so I went with it, but it's a good example. Of man's thoughts and God's thoughts is Naaman the leper, okay? And we've heard this portion of scripture 1,000 times. You learned about it in Sunday school, and you've probably taught about it or had a Bible study about it. But I'm going to take a look at it again. You all know that Naaman, he was the commander of the Syrian army, and he was a good commander. And they had raided the Israelites and brought back this little servant girl, and she was taking care of Naaman's wife and told Naaman's wife that it's too bad that you're not in Israel, because there's a prophet in Israel that could heal Naaman's leprosy. And so, of course, she got right on the horn to her husband, and he went to the king, and the king gave him permission to go to the Israelite prophet, Elisha, and come in and, you know, receive healing. So they sent letters to the king of Israel, and he got in shock and awe, because he about fell over, because he said, who am I to say this guy can get healed? You know, but Elisha says, don't let that bother you. When the king of Israel heard that when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king asking, why have you rent your clothes? Let Naaman come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Don't you just love that? You know, see, that's where we got to get. We got to say, you know, to the world, when people need something, our God is in us, amen, and he can do it. I can't do it. Jeannie Putman can't do it, but I will pray to my God, and my God will do it. That's what we got to get to. So anyways, Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stopped at Elijah's door. And, you know, I can imagine Naaman all the way there. He's thinking about how this is going to be done. Now, he was a worshiper of Rimmon or whatever. They had a god named Rimmon. He was part of Baal, R-I-M-M-O-N. And he had probably seen lots of ritualistic services in that temple of Baal, and how they did things real fancy and used blood or wine or however they did their ritualistic services. And so I can imagine he's thinking, okay, what's this man of God going to do? What's going to happen? And he's thinking about how it's going to go down all the way there. Well, when he gets there, he goes to Elisha's door, and the first thing Elijah does is he doesn't even go out to greet him. He sends a messenger. And he says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. So here this servant comes out of the house, and he just gives him Elijah's message. That's the first thing he does. And this is God's thought. This is God's way. God is telling Naaman, all you've got to do is go to the Jordan, dip 7 times, wash yourself, and you'll be clean. That's God's thought. That's God's way for Naaman. It's right there. Just a nice little simple instruction. Just go to the river, dip yourself 7 times, and you're going to be clean. Well, that didn't go over too well with Naaman. He got hot. So hot. So hot. It says, but Naaman was angry, and he went away. So he left the house and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leper. So this is what he was expecting. He was expecting Elisha to come out with his mantle around his neck. He wanted him to come out of the door. We'll say this is Naaman. And he wanted to hear some ritualistic prayer. Oh, God of Israel! This is your servant Elisha, and Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, is here, oh great and mighty God. He wants you to heal him of his leprosy. And now, Lord, I'm waving my hands. I'm asking you to send fire down and heal him in the name of the Jehovah Rapha. And he didn't get it. What did he have? He had a preconceived notion and a way he thought God was going to give him the victory. That is a good word right there, because we all, Jeannie Putman has preconceived. When I read the Bible, I'm expecting what Naaman expected. He expected God's power to come down like lightning and for him to go, praise God, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm healed, I'm whole. That's what he was expecting. But, you know, all my life, it's been a simple command. And the supernatural has been wrought in my life several times. But it's not been a super show. It's been a supernatural command. Just like Stephanie in the grocery stores praying over people. Supernatural happened. Not no ritualistic fanciful, what is it, a religious ritualistic, that's what the word I'm looking for, ritualistic service. And that's what we got to be careful. So anyways, Naaman was hot. So those were Naaman's thoughts. That was Naaman's way. He got angry instead of doing what God's thought and God's way was. Then it goes on to say, I love this too. Then he goes from, having his preconceived notion and wanting his ritualistic religious service to being complainer and a griper. He goes on in verse 12 and he says, are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? Why do I have to lower myself and get in that dirty water to get healed? Other people were healed and they didn't have to do that. So I think Naaman needed a little bit of humble pie. I think he thought a little bit too much of himself. I don't think he had the right thinking cap on. So that was Naaman's way. His thought was he had that preconceived notion about how he was going to get his healing. And then his way was complaining because he didn't get what he wanted the way he wanted it. And sometimes that's how we are as Christians when we pray. We have preconceived notions instead of following the Holy Spirit into the victory that he has for us today. And it's so important, so important. So anyways, then, and you know, he was in a state with his rage, because the Bible said he had rage, and with his thoughts, he couldn't hear anything from God. He didn't even hear what was told him. The only thing he could hear was his complaining and his, you know, not wanting to do God's thought and God's way. That's what he heard. So God had to use his servant in verse 13 to give the revelation knowledge to, because his servant was listening. He heard what had been said to his master. And so God moved on the servant to give him this message. And he said, and his servant came near and said to him, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, climb the highest mountain, go to the lowest valley, kill somebody, wouldn't you have done it? And then he went on to say, how much rather than when he just says to you, go wash and be clean. So then the light bulb came on in Naaman's mind to God's thought and God's way. And then he decided, he received that revelation knowledge. It hit him, the light bulb came on, and he agreed with what God had told him to do. And so then in verse 15 or 14, it says, then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. Now think if he had only dipped one time and stopped, or two times and stopped, three times stopped, four times stopped, five times stopped, six times stopped. But thank God he went down for the seventh time, because you have to do exactly what the Holy Spirit or God is telling you to do in the exact way that he is telling you to do it. You can't put your thinking on the revelation knowledge. You can't. It's a spiritual thing. You have to follow the word of what God is telling you to do, right to the letter. And so he then in simple obedience took God's thoughts and went and did it. He went and he dipped himself in that dirty old river. You know, it would be like pastor standing up here and saying, all right, the Lord told me, all of you guys, right now tonight, to get clean, to get healed, to get your problem solved, you have to go to Jeannie Putman's house on the Cass River, and you got to dip yourself in the Cass River seven times, then you'll get the answer to prayer. Now, what would your natural mind do? Oh, he's crazy. Pastor, you must have ate too much pizza or something last night. What your mind does is it grabs a hold of that right away, and where only the word can divide the soul and the spirit. So that's why the word has to go in. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You got to act on the word and not let your mind talk you out of it or get you into a rage, thinking your own thoughts and doing your own ways. You know, that's why Naaman was so hesitant because he couldn't make any sense out of it. You know, he couldn't make any sense out of it. So that's God's thoughts, God's ways, simple obedience. Isaiah 1:19-20 tells us, if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. But if we refuse and rebel, you shall be delivered to the sword. So if Naaman's servant hadn't received that revelation knowledge and given it to Naaman, he would have died a slow death of leprosy. But thank God, the revelation knowledge got to him. Job 22, verses 21 to 23 says, acquaint now yourself with him and agree with God and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. And that's what happened to Naaman. At first, he wasn't going to do what God said. But then he decided that he was going to agree with God and do what the prophet told him to do. Then Naaman had peace. Good came to him. And it goes on to say, receive instruction from God's mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. So he was built up. And he took God's word in his heart. And when he was all done, he went back to Elijah. And he said, now I know that the Lord God of Israel is the one and the true God. He got acquainted with God. He knew God now. And so that's what obedience, and that's what God's thought, being obedient to God's thought and God's way for your life through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that's what it brings to your life. It brings the victory you're looking for. It brings peace. It brings being built up in your life. So Naaman had peace, good was done to him, and he was built up and went back and thanked the prophet. And I want to finish with this portion of scripture, and we all know it too. It's John 10, verses 27 through 30. It says, the sheep that are my own or mine hear and are listening. Remember, spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. They're listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, I was reading this article when I was looking at this today, and they were saying that each shepherd back in the day when there were shepherds, their sheep specifically knew their voice. So like if Pastor had a flock of sheep and Marianne had a flock of sheep, they would be caring for those sheep every day, and they would keep them from danger. They would take them to pastures for green grass. They would make sure they had water. They would provide for them. They would protect them. Okay, and because of that, they would talk. They would use their voice to the sheep. And these sheep, they said in this article, there could be like if Pastor's flock, Marianne's flock, and my flock were all together, all I had to do was use my voice to call my flock, and they would separate themselves from the other sheep, and they would follow the shepherd. And that's how we are. No matter where we're at, on our job, at home, in the store, when we hear the shepherd's voice, we follow. We follow that voice. And it says, it goes on to say, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. Now, I don't know if you've ever caught this, but over in John 17, Jesus calls eternal life the ability to know God. So if you think about that, the ability to know God, get acquainted with God, and walk with God in the Spirit by the Word is eternal life. We'll be with him throughout the ages. And it says, to all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hands. For my Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So this little portion of scripture about Naaman has some good lessons in it. One of them was we cannot have any preconceived ways or thoughts or notions of how God is going to move. We do not know how God is going to move. We just tell God, move. However it's your will, your purpose, your plan, how you know best. We're here to be in unity. We're here to hang onto your coattail, and let's go. Let's go. So if Naaman wouldn't have got on board, he wouldn't have been healed. And so that's how we've got to be. Not any preconceived notions, just simple, knowing God's thought for your what you're going through, knowing God's way for what you're going through and then being obedient to it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Okay? We cannot walk in the flesh when something doesn't go the way we think it should have. We've got to stay in the spirit because Naaman's anger, his fleshly anger, stopped him from getting revelation knowledge. He was hot. And when your pastor put that text out today about your emotions, what you're thinking will affect your emotions. He was hot. It was affecting his thoughts. He couldn't think. God couldn't give him revelation knowledge. He had to give it to his servant. And then the servant came to him and helped him to get straightened out. Okay? Another thing is we should never gripe or complain when God gives us his thoughts for our lives or his way for our lives. We shouldn't complain about what he wants us to do. You want me to give her $100? Don't you know that I've only got $100 left in my check account? He said, we should say, yes, Lord. We thank you. When we give, it'll be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is an opportunity for me to believe you and increase with prosperity. You know, we shouldn't look to what's outside and let it dictate what God is doing in our spirit. Then another point is that we have to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. It's up to us. It's up to us. It was up to Naaman to get on board and go dip, and he finally did. We need to agree with God's thoughts and ways to be at peace, even if it sounds ridiculous. And it sounded ridiculous to Naaman. And we have to stay, this is so important, we have to stay humble and submit to God and listen to his voice and stay teachable if we want revelation knowledge from him, which the gates of hell cannot prevail against us in our lives, for us to get the victory. For us to get the victory and walk with God. And once Naaman got that revelation, he agreed with God. He went and he was a willing and he was obedient, and he got the good of the land. And that's it.
That's awesome.